We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Wednesday here in Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM. This is Bob Arthurs. You pray for me today as I am serving in jury duty, whether they draw my name or not. I'm so thankful my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I get those letters, sometimes I'm not quite so thankful that my name's on the voter registration rolls. But hey, we are good citizens. We're thankful to live here in America, and we want to do our civic duty. So, you know, there are some people who are called to serve. You know, I try and mention whenever I see a police officer or a firefighter or a military person, especially here in 2015 with everything that has gone on, I try and go up to them and say, hey, I just want to thank you for your service. And that really doesn't cost any time, whether I see them in the grocery store, whether I see them in a restaurant, wherever I might see them, I try and go up and say, thank you for your service. And so if you do get called to serve your community, with jury duty or something like that, I pray that you will not run from it and try and make excuses from it, but you'll say, thank God that I live in a country where I have the privilege of serving. So today we are going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. As you're turning there, I want to thank Creative AC Solutions. 759-3284, 759-3284. They are here to minister or to help you with your AC and heating needs in the central Brevard County area. If you've got any refrigeration issues, they deal with some of those as well. And if you need them, give them a call, 759-3284. I do want you to know that even though I'm going to be sitting in a courthouse today, there is a vintage service that is going on. Kids ministry is going to go on tonight. The world will function without Bob Arthurs having to be there. So, the truth of the matter is Merit Assembly of God was there before I got there. And should the Lord tarry, it'll be there after I depart. The Bible encourages, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. We are thankful for God calling us to Merit Assembly of God and serving there, but it is good to know that He's raising up other servants. There are people who are volunteering at our church at higher levels than we've seen them before, and that's good because we need more volunteers than we've needed before. So with more ministry comes more needs. And so at Pastor Appreciation, they asked me, they said, what are some of the things that we could be praying for you about over the next 6 weeks? And they asked all of our staff members that. And I said, if you would, pray for me for wisdom, because for 23 years, we have had to constantly be working and improving the facilities in one form or another. And I said, and now we are in a position where the facilities are up to speed and running, but I have to have the wisdom to know how to minister where I'm not having to constantly, paint a wall or repair a hole or anything like that. The men in the church have done a wonderful job taking care of things like that. And now it's time that we can say, instead of spending tens of thousands of dollars on facilities, we can put those resources to use in reaching the community with the love of Jesus Christ. So pray for me for wisdom, if you would. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, we're talking about deliverance today, and we're going to look in beginning in verse 1 just to read. It's not a long chapter, 22 verses, and it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus staying in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace with you. Amen. So Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, and he writes to him. This is one of his pastoral epistles, and he begins by giving him instructions on how he should conduct his life. It says, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. By the way, Jesus is coming again. I believe that. I look forward to that. And he says, because of that reality, preach the word. Preach the word. When you come to Merit Assembly of God, you are going to hear me preach the word. That is what I do. I try and focus on doing two things well, preaching the word and loving people. That is my aim. That is my goal. And he says, be ready. And by the way, just if I can, he says, because there's going to come a time when people are not going to be able to endure sound doctrine. That is why you can have people who have these large followings, that's what I'm going to call them, and yet their preaching is not Bible-based. I can remember a day and time when the city that I was ministering at that time, going back a little over 30 years, and there was a church, and I remember the number one indictment against that church was that, you know what, when you go there, you might hear a sermon from this philosopher, you might hear a sermon, but you know, you may hear a sermon from the Word of God, but you're just as likely to hear some sermon from the latest and greatest self-help book as that. And that was a great indictment. And now I want you to know that there are multitudes of churches where the Word of God is not necessarily the primary focus. There, instead, people surround themselves. They surround themselves with people, television personalities, who, because they're popular, think that their theology is correct. Listen, my theology is not correct because I say it's correct. My theology is correct only when it lines up with the Word of God. And so when I go to the Word of God, I do not try and bend it and contort it and distort it to make it fit my views. What I do is I go to the Word of God and I see what it says. There are people that said, oh, well, there are contradictions in the Word of God. And you know, I go to a passage and I see this, and I go to this passage and I see something that appears to be diametrically opposite of that. And my response to that is this. You know, I have finite understanding, and I don't know everything that God is capable of, but I do know this: He's not capable of lying. And so if He says that this is true and that is true, I may not have an understanding as to the process He's going to utilize to make both of those things come to pass harmoniously, but I do believe this: He's going to do it. Because I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God even beyond my understanding. And so I encourage you today that whatever church you are attending, make sure you are attending the house of God. You need the local church, and the local church needs you. And like I say, if you do not have a local church, we would love to have you come and visit with us and see if Merit Assembly of God is the place where God would have you to fit in. The reason that I say that is because not everybody is going to be able to fit in at Merit Assembly of God. I had a person, I had this conversation, and quite frankly, I asked them straight out. I said, hey, you know, I just want to ask you, why do you not come to Merit Assembly of God? And he told me, he said, Pastor Bob, I will just be honest with you. It would be too difficult for me to be able to attend Merit Assembly of God. And I said, well, you would have to explain that to me. And he began to describe the things that were going on with his personality. And, you know, even though I didn't necessarily agree with his assertion, I do know that God has called people to First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. He's called people to Merit Assembly of God. He's called people to East Coast Christian Center. He's called people to River of Life Assembly of God. You need to know that place that God has called you, because not only do you need the church, but the church needs you. You don't need to be there just as a spectator. You need to be there as a fully engaged, fully involved person who wants to be a blessing to the community. But that church needs to be preaching the Word of God. This may be the most harsh statement that you have ever heard me make, and that is this: if you are sitting in a church that is abandoning the standards of the Word of God, like we talked about on yesterday's program, with moral issues, with the authority of God's Word issues, then I want to encourage you to do this. You need to find a different church. Again, that may be the most dangerous thing that you have, or harsh thing that you have ever heard me say, but listen, bad company corrupts good character. So there was a story when, you know, I don't know that this story is true. It's just a story that I heard very young about a lady who was sick, and she had been very faithful to church, and the pastor showed up and was checking on her, and he said, would you like me to read you something from the Bible? And she said, yes, please. And he said, well, where's your Bible? And she said, it's right there. And he grabbed it and he began to open it up, and there were all of these holes that had been cut out of the Bible, very precise, and, you know, and he said, sister, what happened what happened to your Bible? And she said, well, Pastor, I paid attention when you preached at church and when you said, well, this really isn't in the Bible and that really isn't in the Bible and this really isn't applicable anymore. I took those parts out because you said they weren't applicable anymore. I want you to know God's word is settled forever on heaven and on earth. So he tells Timothy to preach the word. Pastors, preach the word. If you're a Sunday school teacher, teach the word. I've been in some Sunday school classes when I was a kid that didn't always teach the word. I encourage you, teach the word. And then it says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. It's talking about that there are going to be interpersonal relationships. After he tells Timothy how he is supposed to conduct himself, he tells them, he says in verse number 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And he says, look, I'm already being poured out. I can sense that the time of my departure is at hand. My future is very secure. You know, I know what is coming, and all of it is good. And then he begins to give his parting instruction, and he says, by the way, I need you. I need you to come to me, and I need you to come to me quickly. And he begins to impart to him, see, even though you know that you're going to be with heaven, there are still some things that need to be done. And so Paul is taking care of these. He's addressing them. He says, there was a guy that was hanging out with me by the name of Demas. He's forsaken me and has left for Thessalonica because he loved this world, this present world, more than he loved the future that I'm currently embracing. He says, there was a guy by the name of Crescens. He's gone to the Galatia. Titus for Dalmatia. Now, I want you to know the book of Titus was written to this Titus. So these people who have moved on from Paul, it's not necessarily that they have abandoned the body of Christ. It has just left him without his support system. It says, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Luke is the one that wrote the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And then he says this, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. This is the same Mark, he's known as John Mark, that left with Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts to go on their first missions journey. They got to the first stop, and John Mark, who was very young, who wrote the book of Mark that he got from Peter, he went back home. He got homesick and he left. And so the next time they were ready to depart, Barnabas said, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, no, we're not taking him. He abandoned us the last time. We can't trust him. And Barnabas, who had believed in Paul, was now put in a position of defending John Mark. And so they ended up parting ways. Barnabas ended up sowing into John Mark's life. And as a result of that, Paul and John Mark were restored to where now, here at the end of his life, Paul is saying, bring Mark, for he is useful to me for ministry. You know, folks, it is okay to admit when you have been wrong about somebody. God sees potential in other people that you and I may not be able to see potential in. So if you've started out badly, repent, get back on the horse, so to speak, and get out there doing work for ministry. And I don't know about you, but when I read the Gospel of Mark, I know that Mark was useful for the ministry. Tychicus had been sent to Ephesus. He says, I've got some needs. Bring with me the books, especially the parchments. And then he begins to deal with Timothy about the adversity that he has faced. I find it interesting that many people in contemporary Christianity believe that if you are doing everything right for God, you are not going to face any adversity. And yet Paul, throughout his writings, refers over and over again to the adversity, and adversity came through the first one, item that he mentions was Alexander the coppersmith. He said he did me much harm. He greatly resisted our words, and you need to beware of him. And so it's always nice to have a warning from somebody about who you should be on your guard. And verse number 16 says this: at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. That sounds very melancholy, very isolationist, and nobody likes to be alone. I will tell you this, there have been seasons in my life where I knew that my wife and I were doing exactly what God had called us to do, and yet nobody stood with us. There were people who did not believe that our marriage would last, and yet it has survived through the decades. There were people who did not believe in my wife's call, and they thought that it was a very localized, a very restrictive call. And I will tell you this: my wife has put up with more hardship in the ministry than almost anybody that I'm aware of. Now I'm not moaning and complaining. She wouldn't be moaning and complaining, but I'm telling you, she is one tough cookie for Jesus. I just celebrate the tenacity and the passion for God. The thing that I fell in love with was her fire for God. That is what I, and so, if you've never stood alone, you won't have any idea. There are some people that, unless they're surrounded by a great group, by a great number of people, then their life is going to fall apart. When there was no person standing with Jesus, Paul writes this: but the Lord stood with me. And he said, there wasn't a person that I could see that was standing with me, but there was the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood with me, and he strengthened me. When God is standing with you, you are not going to be in a position of weakness. You are going to be in a position of strength. And the longer you stand with him, the stronger you got. The more he speaks into your life, the stronger you are going to become. And like I've said before, when the scripture talks about the anointing that breaks the yoke, it is talking about a spiritual fatness and a spiritual strength that comes that you have eaten. You have feasted on the goodness of God, and you have grown so strong spiritually that external yoke that used to hold you could no longer hold you. I don't know if you've ever had a garment of clothing that used to fit, but the bigger you became and the stronger that you became, the garments just gave way, and they were rendered useless because they no longer fit you anymore. Let God strengthen you today through Jesus Christ and through his lordship, so that the shackles that the enemy has bound would be weakened, that they would be compromised, and they would not be able to impair you anymore. So he said, the reason that he stood with me and strengthened me is so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. You are not just being strengthened to look good in a muscle shirt. You're just not being strengthened to look good in a pew on Sunday morning. You are being strengthened that the kingdom of God would be built and the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forth. Now, you say, Pastor, what has all this got to do with deliverance? I'm glad you asked. He said, also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, I have personally experienced what Daniel experienced, that when they threw me to the wild beast, when they threw me to the lions, when they stoned me, when I was left shipwrecked, he strengthened me and he delivered me out of that attack. It was a week ago. We were sitting at home. We'd come home from church, and I heard the dog, and she was yearning to go outside, and it was getting close to bedtime, so I opened the door, and the dog just took bolting out into the uh, to the backyard, and all of a sudden we hear all sorts of things flopping and flailing and everything. And that was when we discovered that we had a wild animal that was in the backyard, and our dog was out there engaging that wild animal. And I want you to know that that dog had a desire that I didn't have, and that was to engage that wild animal. I just wanted it out of the yard. And if you saw the claws and the teeth that this thing had, it was a possum, but it wasn't playing possum. It was defending itself and hissing and all of that sort of stuff. But I will tell you that Paul said, I wasn't looking for a fight with a lion, but they put me in a position where they thought that the lion was going to kill me, but God delivered me out of that. And today you may find yourself in a struggle that you didn't go looking for, but you're in it anyway. And today I just want you to know that Jesus will do for you what he did for Paul, and that is he will deliver you. And Paul said this, also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, that's past. And he says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, he has delivered me, and he will deliver me. He's going to deliver me from every evil work. We talked the other day about being delivered out of this evil age. I want you to know that Jesus came to destroy the devil, and he came to destroy the works of the devil, not some of them, but all of them. And if those things have risen up in you, I want you to press into Jesus, call out to him and say, God, today in faith, I declare that you are going to deliver me out of every evil work. You are going to deliver me in order to preserve me for your heavenly kingdom. That's good news. Today, not only am I preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. I had some issues that I was dealing with, and right now I'm preaching faith to myself that God has delivered me in the past, and he will deliver me from every affliction, every sickness, every disease that rises up against me, that he will preserve me from every good work. He will deliver me from every good or evil work, and he's going to preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. He's going to deliver me for his glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, I am reminded of a story. A person said, you know, they were telling me about a 98-year-old who had a miraculous healing, and he was talking to his grandmother about it, and her response was, I just want you to know that I wanted to leave a good testimony for my Savior. Today, God wants to deliver you for his glory, for his kingdom. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.